your Bibles and turn to the book of James, James chapter 2. I just want to say thank you to Connor. It was good for him to come and fill in, and you make such a big difference. Miss Sarian's out right now having that baby, and so we're praying for her, but thankful for Connor and just the worship he brings and the house of the Lord, and so I'm thankful for that. James is really writing the way, not the way of salvation. I think you've heard me say that before, but the way of the saved. And so when James writes, he writes in a way that really kind of gets your attention. I'm just going to admit to you, sometimes when I read the book of James and the rest of the Bible, it kind of rubs me the wrong way. And let me explain. It's kind of like sandpaper, sanding off those old spots that are not good and bringing out what is good underneath, which is the Lord Christ Jesus. So hopefully this morning, as we kind of look at the book of James, that this message will kind of rub you the wrong way, and it will change your life, that you may be more conformed to the image of Christ, that we may be what Christ desires us to be, that people that always put him first and lift others up around us. And so let me read to you out of the book of James, James chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. It says, "My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons. For if there come into your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, Sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, Stand thou there and sit here under my footstool, are you not then partial in yourselves, and become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? But you have despised the poor. Do not the rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seat? Do not blaspheme that worthy name by which ye are called. If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, Do not commit adultery, said also, Do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law." Father, we come before you. We say thank you, Lord, for your word that gives us direction, hope, peace, comfort, and conviction. And so, Lord, today I pray that we would be a people that would not be a respecter of people or persons, that we would lift all up, Father, that we would put you first before everything else, and then lift our brothers and sisters up, that we may help them and encourage them and be a blessing to them. Thank you, Lord, for all that you have done in our past. Thank you, Lord, for being so good to us. Thank you for the church that assembled this morning. Lord, I pray that you would bless us again with those things that we need to know and with great conviction. Thank you, Lord, for the promise that when your word is read, it will not come back void. In the name of Jesus, I pray, amen. I guess after the last couple of months, 2 months and two marriages with my daughters, I have marriage on my mind, and I heard a great saying that goes like this. I've been told when you meet the right person, you know immediately. How is it then when you meet the wrong person, it takes about a year and a half? Now, I like that, and I think that's exactly what James is saying. Sometimes we judge people based on their appearance. We judge people based on how they look or even how they talk or where they're from. And I think we need to get back to this idea that God is not a respecter of persons, and neither should we. That we should love God and love our fellow man just like that. That we should recognize that God desires that we be a people that do what he does, and that is love everybody. So I want to just speak to you this morning about some things in this passage. The first thing is the prohibiting of partiality. The prohibiting of partiality. Notice verse 1, "My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with the respect of persons." James reminds us about partiality. And that we're saved today not because we were different from everybody else, but because we're the same as everybody else. We are sinners by birth, and that God with no partiality saved us, not because of what we have achieved or what we have done or what we look like, but because he simply loved us. We are saved by grace. I like that passage in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. It says, "For by grace you are saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So James makes it clear that if you're a person of faith, you should not show partiality or greater respect to a person based on their appearance or their last name or anything like that. Why? Because partiality creates disunity in the church. Let me say that again. Partiality creates disunity in the church. And if you really study the Bible, you'll find a theme there. One is of holiness. God demands that we be holy. Be ye therefore perfect, as my Father in heaven is perfect. But also there's a great theme of unity. in the church house, we need to come together as one in the body of Christ. Acts chapter 2, verse 46, and they continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house. Acts chapter 4, verse 24 says, and when they heard that, they lifted their voice to God with one accord. Acts chapter 5, and by the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were wrought among the people, and they were all together with one accord in Solomon's porch. Philippians chapter 2, verse 2, fulfill my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, one mind. I think it is clear that the Lord desires for us to be a unified body of people, not a people that show partiality for whatever reasons. And so we recognize that God has called us not to be a people that are partial. So sometimes we find evident real quickly why we are partial, and there's many places in the Bible that we'll pull from. James starts out with this: no partiality because of financial status. And so we should have no partiality because of financial status. Verse 2, for there come into your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come also a poor man in vile raiment, and you have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say to him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit there under my footstool. And so James makes it clear, we ought not to esteem the rich and reject the poor. We ought not to show preferential treatment to some just because they have what we would consider riches in their life. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with being rich. Matter of fact, let me remind you, in a world standard, most of us are considered very wealthy. Most of us would be in the 1%. If you make your household over $60,000, you are the 1%ers of the world. And so don't say, well, who's Brother Paul preaching to this morning? Look in the mirror, amen. It is all of us that we need to recognize that God wants us to be a faithful people, not rejecting others. Again, there's nothing wrong with being rich. Job, David, Solomon, Joseph, Arimathea, all those people were used by God. And so we need to recognize not to look up to just those that have made wealth by doing, but recognize they're all part of the body of believers. And so here's what I learned in life. I heard this from Buck Burney many times. We need to keep people as the treasure, not the treasure map. Treat people as the treasure, not the treasure map. Don't say, well, I can get this out of this person and this out of this person and this out of this person, but treat everybody equally, that they are the treasure in life. And so James reminds us not to despise the poor either. And so don't just esteem the rich, but also don't despise those that look like they don't have money. He says, the poor man that comes in with vile clothing, don't put him in the wrong place. Don't move him to the side. By the way, just as there's nothing wrong with being rich, there's nothing wrong with being poor. If you'll remember, Jesus was born to poor parents. He lived a life of poverty. Remember, he said, the foxes have holes and the birds of air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. He died as a poor man on the cross, buried in a borrowed tomb. And so what really matters in life, what is how you live and what you do with what the Lord has entrusted with you. So we need to understand the value is in the person, not in their possessions. And you look at that, you kind of make some understandings about the Bible. And I like what it says in Luke chapter 15, verse 10. He says, likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And so here's what I'm trying to say, that when we get saved, I don't care what your monetary value is, he doesn't look at that. He looks at a soul that has been saved, and the angels rejoice when it says, not when they're rich or the poor or whoever, but when one sinner gets saved, we are equal in the eyes of God. And so there is a great thing for us to understand. We need to get past the exterior and see the value of the person. And so we should not show partiality because of financial status. But let me kind of bleed off that a little bit into other things that I think James hit on, but then the rest of the Bible also comments on. Secondly, no partiality because of social standings. So again, verse 1 at the end, it says, with respect of persons, that we should not be a people that respect people above others. There are so many things that divide us in our country today that we should not let divide us. We could talk about politics for a minute. We have people on the right or on the left. We have people that are in the Democrat Party and the Republican Party. And if you're not careful, you'll start a conversation. And before you know it, there's a division that causes us to separate ourselves. My friends, that is wrong in the house of God. We need to recognize that God has called us together. Here's the secret. The Republican Party didn't save you. The Democratic Party didn't save you. The Independents didn't save you. They didn't save you. It is Jesus that saved you. Secondly, I think it's not just about politics, but how about playing games? Now, I like to bring up Georgia, Florida, amen? I just do. But I will not let that divide me over somebody. Let me just say, if we take it too far, we are wrong in doing so. I know families have been divided. Now, it's not so bad in Florida, but you go to Alabama, where I was first a youth pastor, and I'm telling you, man, you're talking about people that never speak to each other in the same household sometimes, Auburn and Alabama fans. Man, they're crazy people. Don't let that be us. Don't let a football game divide us. How about family versus non-family? There are churches all across our land that are family-owned and operated. And you walk in that place, and if you're not part of the family, man, it's like, what in the world am I doing here? Please don't let that ever be here. One of the great things I think about Sardis is when you come in, you ought to feel the love of Christ for others around you. That is the way God intended for us to be. And so don't let it be something that is breaking you apart because of your social standings. We've been studying the book of Romans just into that in our Wednesday night Bible studies. You ought to come to that because there's some great things that take place there. And in Romans chapter 16, Paul is finishing his letter. He writes to about 25 different people saying, greetings to you and greetings to you. In Romans chapter 16, verse 9, he says, salute Urbane, our helper in Christ, and Stichius, our beloved. Now, just reading that, you may not think much about that, but Urbane was a common name for a slave that was born in the city. Like I said, when you're not a city slicker slave. And so, a slave. But Stachys is another name of royalty. And Paul mentions the same two in the same sentence. Why? Because their value was equal in the eyes of God. And so we ought not to look at others and say, well, that's not my family, it's not this, not my social class. Paul writes in Galatians 3, there's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither bond nor free, neither male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. So no partiality because of financial status, no partiality because of social standing, no partiality because of skin color. We should be no respecter of persons. I'm not talking about all the other things you want to talk about, but when it comes to worship in the house of God, God sees past all things. He sees the soul of man. I'm telling you, we've been plunged into a race war by race baiters and haters, but I'm saying this. When it comes to the value of a person, I don't care what color you are. Some people say, well, I don't see color. Well, let me tell you, I do see color, but I don't care what color you are. You can be black or white or red, or it does not matter. Just know this, God loves you, and I do too. Now, before you say, well, you're doing better than me because I was ready, let me tell you, I've not always been that way. I've had some issues in my life, and I've grown up some times when maybe you've had some issues in your life. I remember when I graduated high school, I was went to college. I first went to Valley State College, and it was, if you mean I'm going to date myself. Anybody remember the Ayatollah Khomeini people, Ayatollah in Iran, and the crazy people over there? Well, I sat down, and the first day was in chemistry class, and the guy looked over there. I said, he's one of them Pakistani guys. This is not good. All I could think about, he had a carload of explosives in his van. Amen? He was the nicest guy you would ever meet. Matter of fact, later on, he would say, those guys are crazy over there. But I would just brought up with that distinction. There's something wrong about those people. Let me tell you, we can mess up. But let me just tell you, by the grace of God, by the power of God, by the understanding of God's word, we are all created equal in the eyes of God. There is great value in a soul. I'm telling you, we ought to get past the black, white, red, yellow things. Daniel Boone said this, I like this. I will be honest, I've not liked every black man I've ever met. But also, I've not liked every white man that I ever met. We are equal in the eyes of God. The Lord sees past the externals. Do you remember when God called Samuel to go anoint somebody king? Saul had messed up, and God says, I got a new man for the nation of Israel. And so he sends them to Jesse's house, and he said, Jesse has some sons. And so when Samuel got there, he started looking at the sons, and it says this in 1 Samuel 16, and it came to pass when they were come, speak about the sons, that he looked on Eliab, and he said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. Why? Because Eliab was a big man, strong, good-looking guy. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or the height of his stature, for I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as a man seeth. For the man look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. And so should we. The great writer Spurgeon said, be not proud of face, race, place, or grace, for you had nothing to do with any of those things. Let me say that again. Be not proud of face, race, place, or grace, for you had nothing to do with any of those things. I know it's hard sometimes when we live at it. It's hard because of the tensions we have sometimes, but we ought to get past that by the power of God. And let me remind you, this is nothing new when it comes to race or anything else. It was even prevalent in Jesus' day. Matter of fact, the disciples were somewhat racist in one sense. Hang on, just follow me out. If you remember in Matthew chapter 15, verse 22, it says that they were going around, and a Canaanitish woman, you know, there was Israel, and then the Canaanites, and they were vexed people, you may say. A Canaanitish woman came from these borders and cried, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a demon. But he answered not a word. And the disciples came and besought him and said, send her away, for she cries after us. So let me set the tone here. This woman that was a Gentile from a terrible people kept following him around. And she said, please help my daughter. And the disciples said, please send her away. Because they didn't want to help her because of her race, you may say. And then it says this, but she came and worshipped him. Or he says this, but he answered and said, I was not sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. She came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. And he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. But she said, Lord, yea, even the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. And Jesus answered and said, O woman, great is thy faith, be it done unto thee, even as thou wilt. And her daughter was healed from this very hour. So let me just tell you what's going on. This lady came, and the disciples said, get her away. That we don't want anything to do with this Gentile woman, this lady of Canaan. And Jesus said, yeah, it's not good to give bread from the table. And then, I think he was saying that for the disciples. And then she said, oh, Lord. And basically she said, even the crumbs fall to the master's dogs. And he says, your faith has saved you. Your faith has saved your daughter. And I think those disciples needed to see that Jesus was here really for everybody when they call on him as Lord. And so should we. And there are places throughout the Bible that speak about those very things, that God gives us this idea that we should love all people. Well, let me keep on moving on. No partiality because of financial status, not because of social standings or skin color or past situations. You know, we have this saying, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. And so sometimes we have issues with others based on their past actions, and we tend to push them away. Let me remind you, the Lord wants us to not be partial based on that if they are a repentant people. Luke chapter 17 verse 3 says, take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. Bring him back in. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day again turn to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. So basically he says, we ought not to put people away because they made bad choices and then they turn and come back. Man, how hard it is to deal with that. When somebody does something that offends you and they come back and say, I'm sorry, and you forgive them, and then they do something else that offends you, and then they come back and say, I'm sorry. The Bible says seven times in a day. I think that's why the next verse says this, and the apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. Lord, we need help with this. But I'm reminded of this, Ephesians 4:32. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Colossians 3:13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And so we find that we should not do those things that cause division in the church, that we ought to be a united people. So let me ask you, what kind of partiality do you have in your life? Is it social standings? Is it a skin color deal? Is it a political deal? I wonder. We ought not to think better than ourselves and others because of different things like our bank account or our political party or our sports team. We ought to be reminded we're on the same page, that we all are in need of a sinner or savior that saves sinners like us. And so those bitterness and jealousies ought to be done away with. We ought to trust in Christ Jesus. Well, let me move on. There's the prohibiting of the partiality, but also there's a problem with partiality. Notice why he said this is so wrong. One, you have despised the poor. And I know the poor have sometimes are poor because of poor choices and because of consequences, sometimes based on coincidences. Remember the man Job. Job was a tremendous wealthy man, and then boom, overnight he became a very poor man because of consequences. When you see people, you don't know why they are. And the reason they are, just know sometimes bad things happen to even to people that are really good because God saved them. And so know this, that we ought not to despise the poor. Why? Because we are demanded to help the poor. If you remember in the previous passage, James chapter 1, verse 27, pure religion, undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Fatherless and the widows were the poorest in that day, and God demands that we encourage them and help them, not enable them, but to help them. And when you fail to help others in need, you are missing a great blessing. Remember Matthew 25. And then he shall answer, saying to them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it to the least of these, you have did it unto me. And so when you are having partiality, you despise the poor. But secondly, you have distanced yourselves from those that are rich in faith. Notice verse 5. Hearken, my beloved brethren, have not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? And so what happens is when you despise the poor, when you don't take the time to meet with them and encourage them, you miss an opportunity to share your faith. You miss the opportunity to share the gift of salvation. You miss the opportunity to show them the way that God gives them. I think about Jesus, Matthew 11:5. The blind received their sight. He's telling this to carry back to John the Baptist. The blind received their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And so just notice, when we don't do as we should, when we show partiality, when we despise the poor, when we don't hang around them, when we don't reach out to them, we don't share the gospel as we should. And it seems like the poor are those that are willing to receive. They have nothing to trust but Jesus, and yet we push them away. It seems those who are in most need are in the most need of the Lord. You know, Jesus said something kind of hard in Luke 18:25. It is easier for a camel to go through the needle of the eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Let me read that again. For it is easier for a camel to go through the needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Why? Because many times they're self-sufficient. They don't trust in anything. They don't have need of anything. But those that are poor and needy have this idea that I need help and recognize they need the Lord. And so we have despised the poor. We have distanced ourselves from those that are rich in faith. But thirdly, we have defiled our minds with evil thoughts. Verse 4, are you not partial in yourselves and become judges of evil thoughts? Evil thoughts against the poor. Again, you don't know their past. You don't know why they are like they are. You think wrongly, and it may not be true. But so what happens is you elevate yourself to a position that you do not belong in. You have elevated yourself to become a judge. It is not our job to judge the hearts of people. It is not our job to look out there and say, well, this guy's made it, I'm going to hang around him, and this guy has not. It is our job to elevate everybody, to love everybody, to not show partiality. It is God's job to judge those people. James 4:12, there is one lawgiver who is able to save and destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Romans 14:4, who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his master he will stand or fall. Yea, he shall be holding up for God is able to make him stand. Our job is to live for the Lord and share his love with others. He says your mind is evil. Why? Because it takes on that wicked world. Sometimes what happens is we get this Hollywood mentality that we're going to hang around these people because, man, how good it is. And yet it's the very people that we hang around with, the Hollywood crowd in one sense, the upper people that cause us to live in a path that is not right. He says in verse 7, do not do they, speaking about those that have come to that assembly with the gold and things on, do not blaspheme that worthy name by which we are called. And so we elevate sometimes those who would blaspheme the name of Christ Jesus. Who you start to hang around with really kind of rubs off on who you are. Remember the old saying, if you lay down with dogs, you get up with fleas. And so that was the idea there. Fourthly, you have despised, you have distanced, you have defiled, you will be distressed by the worldly. You will be persecuted by the ones you elevate many times. Verse 6, but ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats. And so in those days, James was saying those guys that come in that are not part of the church and you elevate them, those are the very guys that are causing you trouble. They're putting you down. And so just recognize God again wants us to understand that we should not show partiality, that we should love our neighbors. We should do those things right. And so when you show partiality, you will miss out on a blessing. When you show partiality, you will miss opportunities to share the gospel. When you show partiality, you will fail to receive those spiritual blessings that God desires. How are you showing partiality and who? There's always a problem when you do. We should be faithful to the Lord. Thirdly, not just the person and not just the problem of partiality, but the purging of partiality. So hopefully I made you feel bad, amen. I made myself feel bad all week long about all this. And so we ought to recognize that God wants us to get rid of this partiality. How can we do that? One, we must recognize the supreme law. Verse 8, James 2, verse 8. If you fulfill the royal law according to the scriptures, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. He just simply says we ought to get a hold of the royal law, the supreme law, which is the supreme law of love. Love looks past the outward of the person and loves them as a soul created by the Lord. Go back to the Old Testament. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18 says, thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. New Testament, Matthew 19, 19. Honor thy father and mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Matthew 5, 44. There's a whole bunch of things there about loving your enemies and not cursing them, saluting not just this person, but that person. John 13, 34, a new commandment I've given you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. True love promotes others. That is the supreme law. Secondly, not just recognize the supreme law, but we must recognize the Savior was not partial. Verse 5, hearken, my brothers, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and the heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? In other words, he chose the poor. He chose everybody in one sense, not just those that are well-to-do. I think about how God chose the Jews, not because they were great people, but because they were a lowly people. David was chosen over Eliab, not because Eliab looked like or he was mighty, but because David was a lowly person, the youngest of the brothers. And so should we. Remember our memory verse, Acts 10:34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. I am so thankful because it says these things. John 3:16. For God so loved the world, that's me and you, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men can slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. All. All means all, and that is all means. You ought to get that down. All means all, and that is all means. God loves us all. Then Romans 10:12, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. And then lastly, we must recognize that partiality is sinful. He says in verse 9, if you have respect to persons, you commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. Verse 10, for whosoever shall keep the whole law yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. And so you may think, well, this little issue I have with this person or that group or this thing is nothing. Let me remind you, what you call trifle or trivial, the Lord calls a tragedy. You know, sometimes in life, we try to get through life like that. It's like bowling ball. I know some of you are pretty good bowlers. You roll that bowling ball down there, you make a perfect 10, it just wipes out them all. Anybody in here like that? I know Miss Kathy Parrish, she sometimes bowls. When I do that, guess what? It doesn't do that. It makes this little curve thing, and it knocks down like one pin. Amen. But in the Lord's thinking, that's a strike every time. Let me explain to you. It's just like sinning. If you commit one sin of any kind, even partiality or prejudice, that one sin knocks the rest of the pins down. And you are just as guilty as the murderer, as the adulterer, as anything else when you show partiality. James just wants us to live a life of faith and love others. And so he can brings a great conviction that we should be a faithful people and not have that bowling ball mentality. Well, I'm just going to knock down this pin and this pin and this pin. But when you hit one pin, it knocks them all over. And so let me close with a story I think I've shared before about a man named Carl. Carl was a great man in his day, had lands galore, and would take trips around his land to make sure everything was good. One of the tenants on his land, a tenant farmer, was old Hans. And he pulled up to Hans. Carl was riding his horse and pulled up. And by that time, he heard Hans giving thanks for the lunch he was fixing to receive. And he said, "I'm glad that you came here today, Carl. I'm just giving thanks for all that God has blessed me with, all this food." And then Carl made a little hard remark. He said, "Well, if that's all I had to eat, then I wouldn't be too thankful." He said, "Oh, no. God's blessed me with so much." As they continued their conversation, Hans said, "You know what? I had an unusual dream last night, and I'm not sure what it means, but I dreamed that the richest men in the valley died tonight." And so Carl said, "Dreams are nothing," and he rode off. But that really began to kind of worry Carl, because Carl was the wealthiest man in the whole valley. Matter of fact, he owned most of the valley. Got back home, and then he called his daughter and said, "Hey, this crazy guy said this. Come in if you would, and please check me out. I'm just a little bit nervous." And so he checked him out. He said, "Carl, you're fine. That was just a crazy dream. It's going to be okay. You're not going to die tonight." "Well," he said, "if you're still nervous, I'll just stay in the residence with you, and we'll make sure nothing happens." The night happened. Carl was still alive. Carl said, "Just a crazy dream." He was going through his daily reports, and somebody was coming in and said, "Well, this is going on, and that was going on." Then somebody came in and said, "Hey, by the way, old Hans, he died last night." Let me remind you, all that looks like it's wealth is not. It's the value of the soul that matters to God, and it's what should matter to us as well. James says, don't show partiality. Don't be a respecter of persons. Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes just for a moment. And you ought to be thankful for that very thing. For God loved us. God loves you. I don't care if you've made it big. I don't care if you've ever made anything. I don't care if you've done wonderful works or never done a single work. The value of a soul is precious in the eyes of God. So let me start right there. If you're here and never accepted Christ, never said yes to Him, why not join the family of God this morning and say yes to the one that does not treat you any different than anybody else, but loves you as you are? Maybe you're here and you've done that, but your life has not looked like God's life in one sense. You're not that person that does show partiality, that you have shown partiality in the past and prejudice. Why not just commit that to God right now? Just confess that before the Father and say, "Lord, you know my life. I want to be what James says, a person that is not a respecter of other people, that simply loves you and loves others." I'm telling you, God begin to do a work in your life. Maybe there's something else that you need to deal with this morning, something God's been wanting you to do. Why not commit to that? Before you leave this morning, as God gives you an opportunity to respond to the invitation, why not say yes to what God desires? Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for your word that gives us great conviction, that brings a sense of sandpaper to our lives, that rubs away the old things and the sharp corners, helps us to be pleasing to you and pleasing to others. Lord, I pray that you would just bring that word against our heart, that we may be a people that, convicted by your Spirit, again, to love you and to love others. Help us to put away partiality. Help us to treat all people the same. Help us, Father, to be your people sharing your word. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.